to reign in life for the body life.
Amen.
As Brother James had pointed out yesterday, that the purpose of God is not just save us from all kind of pitiful condition. The reason that God saved us is that He wants us to fulfill His purpose in creating man. That is, man can have image to express Him and have His authority to rule over all the earth. So, for this reason, we must be safe in life in order to reign in life, so that we can have the body life. And yesterday, we have seen a very prominent, we have some truths concerning the matter of being safe in life and reign in life. And this morning, we want to use two particular persons in the Old Testament to give us an example of what does it mean to be safe in life and to reign in life. So, there are many persons in the book of Genesis, but we just want to use two persons as an illustration of what does it mean to be safe in life and reign in life. So, since you guess, which person are we going to use? Okay, don't tell me the answer. I know the answer already. But before I begin to share the message, I want to give you an impression. You know, in the book of Genesis, there are 9 prominent persons. We have Adam, the first generation of man. We have the apple. We have Enoch. Enosh first, who call upon the name of the Lord. And we also have the Enoch, who walked with God for 300 years. We have Noah, right, who built the ark. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We have 9 prominent persons in the book of Genesis. But guess, which 2 persons we want to use? You know, it's very interesting that Enosh, he began to call upon the name of the Lord. But in the record of the Bible, there's only a few verses talking about the generation, the history of Enosh. Enoch, working with God for 300 years. But in the Bible, there are less than 1 chapter. There are only half chapter to give the record of Enosh. Noah, he did a great job. He is the person who changed the generation. But still, his record has only lasted for 5 chapters. But there is a person, actually it's a 2 person in the Bible. Their records lasting for 25 chapters in the book of Genesis. That is almost half of the book of Genesis. Write the history of these 2 persons. And also in the life study of Genesis, we have 120 messages. Among these 120 messages, almost 44 messages is talking about these 2 persons. And of course, we know that these 2 persons are Jacob and Joseph. And you know that at the time when Brother Lee write the outline of the book of Genesis, he finds it's very hard for him to give a clear definition for each person, because sometimes the generation, the record of this person are mixed together. Like in Genesis 37, chapter 2, it said the generation of Jacob is as follows. But you read the next verses, verse 3, it said, when Joseph is at the age of 17. It's very strange. If I write the Bible, I should say, the generation of Jacob is as follows. And when Jacob, when he was 17. But the Bible did not read in this way. He said, the generation of the Jacob is as follows. Then he said, when Joseph, when he was the age of 17. So what does it mean? That means the record, the generation of Jacob is actually the same with the generation of Joseph. In the eyes of God, these two persons are actually one person. So I answer the question for myself. Which two persons will you be used as an illustration of our being saved in life and being reigned in life? I tell you, for our calling by the Lord, it's only a short moment. For our being saved and regeneration, it's less than 1 minute. But I tell you, in order for us to be saved in life and reigned in life, it took 25 chapters. It takes a lifelong time for us to be transformed in order for us to be saved in life and reigned in life. Amen. So now I will begin to share the message on message 4 about the pattern of Jacob. I will start before 11:30, and our brother James will continue to share the message 5 on the pattern of Joseph. Amen. Okay, in Rome Nero 1, it says, Romans and Genesis use the example of Jacob to show us the revelation of God the Father, loving and selecting man, and of God the Spirit working in all things for the good of his lovers, transform man and making man mature in the divine life so that man may be able to praise all the people, to rule over all the earth, and to testify all the people with God the Son as the light supply. Amen. Amen. Isn't this one outline is wonderful? And it seems that nothing particular, right? In the recovery, always have this kind of all by the Father, God the Father selecting, God the Son embracing, God the Spirit transforming. Yes. At the beginning, when I saw this outline, I think there's nothing particular here. But when I look carefully for this outline, I found something very particular. It does not say God the Father is God the Father of calling. It does not say God the Spirit is the Spirit of bracing. But what did he say? He said God the Father is a God the Father of selecting, of loving. God the Spirit is the Spirit of what? Working, transforming, or we can use another word, daring. And of course, God the Son is the Son of supply, the source of supply for all the people. It's really something that I'm very interested. If you see the book of Genesis, you will find that God appeared to Abraham for many times. To Abraham, God is God of calling. Whenever he appeared to Abraham, that is his calling. In the book of Genesis, Abraham received God's calling for several times. But when you look at the history of Jacob, it seems that Jacob do not have so much personal experience with the very God he believed. He was born in a godly family. His grandfather, Abraham, was a godly person. His mother, Rebecca, his father, Isaac, are all godly person. But it's very strange. Jacob, it seems that he do not have much experience, subjective experience with the very God whom he believed. Only when he freed from his brother Esau and went on the way to his uncle Laban's house, he has the first experience of God, which is in Genesis 28. So you see that Jacob is very different from his father. And also, Jacob is unlike from his father Isaac. You know that Isaac, the most significant point in Isaac is that he is a man of bracing. He received a bracing. Whenever he went, there also is a well of living water waiting for him, and he saw on the ground, and the earth yield 100-fold harvest for him. He just meditated in the field, and his wife came in. Right? But when Jacob talking about himself, he said he suffered a dry heat in the daytime and the frost in the night. And he suffered a lot. His uncle Laban changed 10 times for his wages. And he waited at least 14 years to marry the one whom he loved. So it is very unusual for this person. He is unusual. He is very different from his grandfather, Abraham. He is very different from his father, Isaac. He is a unique person. But what do we saw in this person? Praise the Lord. We see God the Father. He loved Joseph. He loved Jacob. In the book of Romans, he said, Esau, whom I hate, but Jacob, whom I love. Praise the Lord. Since today, God also loves us. It is not because we are better than some other else. It is not because we have good behavior, we have the wisdom, we have the capacity, so the Lord loves us. Although we are as cunning, as evil as Jacob, but God has selected us. Amen. Hallelujah. He's selecting us without any reason. He just loves us. Saints, you have to assure us, God loves us. Amen. Even as evil as a person like Jacob, God still loves him. Amen. So today, we are being selected by God. God loves us, not because we do something good, but because He just loves us. Amen. But of course, eventually we see God the Son as a source of supply, typified in the person of Joseph. Eventually, we see the maturity in life. In the book of Genesis, it said in the time when Joseph was a ruler of Egypt, there's a famine spread in the surface of the earth. And in the whole earth, there's only Egypt have bread. So Joseph opened the warehouse for people to buy grain. That is the tape. That's the figure. That Christ is the one who supplied life for us. So after we have been selected by God, God the Father, after we have been transformed and dealing by God the Spirit, praise the Lord, we come to a point which we experience God as a Son, a God of Son, to supply all we need to satisfy our satisfaction. This is what we see in Joseph. So this is the point numero one. He said, the trying card work together so that we can be mature in life. Then we come to Rome numeral 2. The experience of Jacob is governed by the dream of battle, the house of God. Amen. As I have mentioned before, Jacob do not have much subjective experience with God. The first time the Bible records he has a subjective experience with God is in Genesis chapter 28. That is on the way when he freed from his brother Esau and on the way to his uncle Laban's house. And at that time, he has a dream. And the footnote in the Recovering Version tells us that this is the greatest dream in the whole Bible. The greatest dream. I always think that in the Bible, God, I will not give this greatest dream to this cunning person. I would like to give Abraham, because he's a man of faith, right? I would prefer give it to David, because David is a man after God's heart. I would not give this dream, the greatest dream in the Bible, to this cunning person. But it's very strange. God gave this dream to this one. So, you will ask a question, then what is a dream? what does dream means. When I prepared this message, I had a look at a book which Brother Lee shared in 1987 with the title, A Blessed Human Life. He said that the dream is very similar to a vision, but of course, not the same. It's very similar. In the Bible, God always gives men some vision through the dream. You know, we also dream, right? But most of our dreams are meaningless. Nonsense. You dream you kill a person or you are being killed by others. And you wake up and oh, it's nonsense. But in the Bible always told that God gives people dreams. God gave the dream to Pharaoh. He dreamed 7 years of bountiful abundance and 7 years of farming. God also gave dream to the king Nebuchadnezzar. He dreamed of a great image, right? God also gave the dream to Joseph, who dreamed of 11 shelf of his brother bow down to his shelf. And he dreamed the sun, which typified his father, and the moon, which typified his mother, and 11 stars, which typified his brothers, bow down to him. He is a dreamer. Joseph is a dreamer. But eventually, when you see the Bible, all the dreams in the Bible come true. I read this book called The Blessed Human Life. Brother Lee said he also had a dream. At the time of World War II, when the Japanese occupied mainland China, Brother Lee was put into jail by the Japanese military police. He said while he was in prison, when he was in the hard time of his serving life, he had a dream. He dreamed there is a broad highway, a rising sun, and a bright horizon lies before him. He said, this is the future for the lost recovery. Since I tell you, today, this dream has been fulfilled. You look at all over the earth, the 4 or 5 continents, so many countries, so many churches, so many saints. Who knows the God's economy? Even we see the brother Hanegraaff. He began to see something about God's economy. You know, during this past Chinese New Year conference, he attended the last message, message 5. And I sit in front of him, I see that he smiled during the whole meeting and even take notes. And as Brother Jim said, Brother Jim visited him, he said he's very impressive about the meeting in Lost Recovery. Today, the Lost Recovery is a broad highway. It's a rising sun and a bright horizons all over the earth. This is what the brotherly dream come true. So, Joseph had a dream. And what's the content of this dream? It's all a little bit strange. He saw a ladder lying there from the earth on the top to the heaven, and the angel ascending, he first mentioned ascending, then descending to the earth. And then after wake up, he said, wow, this is an awesome place. This is nothing but the house of God, the gate of the heaven. So he called this place Bethel. I don't have time to get into all the details. You like look in the life slide. There are so many points, so many wonderful points, so many revelations in this point. I don't have the time. But I just want to tell you, the center of every vision, the center of every dream is nothing but Bethel. Do you know what the Bethel means? The outline, point A tells us, A under Romans 2 said, Jacob's dream was a dream of God's goal, a dream of battle, a dream of the house of God, which is a church life today, as a body life, and which will consummate in the New Jerusalem as an eternal dwelling place of God and his redeemed elect. So, when you see the generation, the history of Jacob, he suffered a lot. He has been dealt by God a lot. But what is the purpose? The purpose is nothing but Bethel, which is the house of God. Our transformation, our dealing by the Spirit, our supply by God's Son has a goal that is for us to come to the church life. So praise the Lord. How wonderful this point was. And Rome Nero 3 said, Israel means one who struggles with God and the Prince of God. The Christian life is the life of struggling with God to be transformed by God into the Prince of God. Many people know the word for Israel means the Prince of God, but they don't know this is not the primary meaning. The first meaning, the primary meaning of this word Israel is the one who struggle with God. You know, as I have mentioned before, Jacob do not have so much subjective experience with God. The first time is on Genesis 28, when he had a dream in Bethel. And the second time is on his way back from his uncle Laban to his parents' house. And he has just free from the pursuing of his uncle because he wants to do something to escape his uncle. He's stolen his properties, his ships, his goats, his cattle, everything. He's so afraid, so he escaped from his uncle Laban. But at that juncture, somebody told him, his brother Esau, bring 400 persons to meet with him. He is so afraid. Do you know why? If you want to meet somebody, two or three, at least, at the most, 12 persons will be enough, right? Wow, it's been 400 persons. What does that mean? That means there will be a slaughter, right? So Jacob is so afraid. So he did whatever he could. He divided all his herd into two camps, and he set up night drops of cattle or animals as a present to appease his brother Esau. And he still felt not enough. So he sent all his children, all his wife, all his cattle, all his sheep before him, and he himself leapt down at the foot of Jabbok. And during the night, to his surprise, there's a man come to wrestle with him. In the beginning, he do not know who he is. He think, wow, this might be a spy sent by Esau, who want to know how many the army, how many capacity I have, so that these 400 people can kill me. So he come to wrestle with him. He want to wrestle against this spy. But eventually, of course, from the Bible, we know that he realized this man is not a particular man. This man is God himself. But the question is this. Why, in the beginning, Jacob do not realize that he is God himself? You know, his Bible is very strange that he do not say the God of glory appeared to Jacob or the angel of Jehovah appeared with Jacob. He said a man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. Why in the beginning Jacob do not realize that he is God himself? I tell you, this is a very important question. This is a very key point for this message. If you want to answer this question, the best way is to check our experiences. In order, in the church life, if we check with our experiences, we always feel that there are somebody wrestle with us. Oh, my spouse wrestle with me. My child wrestle with me. Even a certain brother, he do not do me so well. Whenever I share something, he always shake his hand. He do not always give me a good, a big amen. He's wrestling with me. with me. But eventually, you realize behind all these persons, who is there? I tell you, God is there. This is the reason why at the beginning, he do not realize the one who wrestles with him is God himself. Praise the Lord. This is also our situation today. Amen. Today, God used so many persons, like the outline said, B under Roman numeral 3 says, Isaac, Rebecca, and Esau were used to put Jacob in the oven of transformation. Laban and Jacob's wife were the fire burning in the oven. Amen. Jacob's history showed that God's sovereignty arranged each aspect of his environment of his chosen ones so that he may carry out his work of transformation within them. God wants to show Jacob. You think that it is Laban who treat you so bad? You think that it is Reuben, your son, Judah, your son, your four wives treat so bad with you? No, it is God himself. Behind all the persons, all the environment, and all the happiness, there's one, which is God himself. And the reason why God hides behind so many persons, so many environment, is that God wants to transform us. So at that juncture, after Jacob, he wrestled with God, the Bible says the sinew of his thigh was touched by God and became dislocated. Do you know what that means? The sinew of one's thigh is the strongest muscle in a man. Every person, every man has a particular the sinew of his thigh. Some brothers are strong in his mind. Some brothers are strong in his emotions. Some brothers are strong in his will. And somebody just physically strong. Every person has a sinew of his thigh. But once your sinew or your thigh has been touched by the Lord, it becomes dislocated. So afterwards, Jacob was crippled. When he met Pharaoh the king, when he met his brother Esau, actually, he's a crippled person. And I always thinking, what the difference between a normal person and a crippled person? You know, if I were a normal person, I can do, I can walk, I can go to whatever what I'm thinking in my mind, right? Suppose I encounter a dog barking at me and chasing at me, what should I do? I will run away immediately, right? But what if I'm a crippled person? How can I do? A dog is barking at me, it's chasing at me, and I'm crippled. Although I'm scared, also I'm afraid, but actually I can do nothing. I can only call on the name of the Lord, right? Right? This is the difference between a crippled person and a normal person. After Jacob had been touched, has been dislocated for the sin of his life, he became a crippled person. That means he cannot do anything by his natural strength. You know, in Genesis 34, he said that, you know, Jacob has a daughter called Dinah, and he has been defiled by the harmer in the city of Shechem. So his son, Simon, and Levi, using skin to slaughter all the people in the city of Shechem. I tell you, if Jacob have not been transformed, do you think that he would not use all kind of trick, all kind of skins, all kind of capacities to deal with that situation? But I tell you, the Bible said, when they do this, Jacob, he only went to Bethel to build the altar for God Jehovah. It shows that it really becomes something different from his previous. So today, Roman numeral 5 said, the Christian life is a life of being daily transformed in the church life on the unique ground of oneness for the reality of the body of Christ. This is the normal Christian life for the normal church life in the foreign aspect. When you read the story of Jacob, maybe you will be wondering in your heart, wow, how good it is. I admit that I'm a cunning person. I admit that I'm a subtle person. I'm so evil. I'm so bad. But once the Lord touched me, the Lord touched the sinning of my die, then I can become a different person. How wonderful it is. Saints, do you have this kind of desire? Well, I tell you, if the Lord gives you this kind of experience, it's good. But I tell you, in the New Testament, in the Bible, the Lord paid not too much this kind of a particular instant for our transformation. Rather, the Bible takes attention to our daily transformation. You look at this word. Can we read all these words from A to I together? Amen. Day by day, brighter and brighter, morning by morning, glory to glory, strength to strength, grace upon grace, here a little, there a little, one by one, house to house, hallelujah! Which one do you like? Do you like to be a Jacob? Or you do like to be a New Testament believer? If you are a New Testament believer, this transform must be day by day, even moment by moment, glory to glory, grace upon grace, from house to house, brighter and brighter. I like this very much. Wow. I write down so many verses, I don't have time to read. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Wow, so good. I don't have time. Just let you. If you have the time to find out all these verses, I tell you, this verse is really a kind of nourishment to our spirit. Amen. Okay. And verse 5, Roman numeral 5 said, all things work together for good for those who love God. Amen. So this is a connection for the book of Romans and book of Genesis. Amen. All things good together for good for those who love God. When Paul, he summarized all the experience, all the transformation work, all the dealing of the Jacob, he has the foreign utterance. All things work together for good for those who love God. Amen. Since you want to receive the transformation, you must be the person who loves God. Amen. And of course, here you said, say the good here is not related to physical persons, matters, or things. Only one is good, God. I tell you, Jacob is the person who wants the best. If he study, he wants to go to Harvard, right? If he run a business, he wants to become Bill Gates. He wants the best. He wants to plunder everything good in this universe, but eventually, he found there's only one who is the best in this universe. Who is this one? It is God himself. All the persons, all the matters, all the things are no comparison with the God whom we love. So, God loved Jacob very much because he wanted something best in this universe. And eventually, he found there's the best one in this universe, which is God himself. Amen. And 6 said, Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he is settled on his lease, and not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, his taste remains in him, and his scent is not changed. In Roman numeral 5, it's an example for our being transformed. And on the contrary, in Roman numeral 6, it's an example of our not being transformed. He said the Moab, his sense remain, and his taste is not changed. Do you know where did this paragraph come from? This comes from a certain paragraph of correcting work of Watchman Nee. In volume 50, there's a message called The Discipline of the Holy Spirit. This paragraph is using from that kind of paragraph. Watchman Nee said that in ancient time, if you want to prepare some wine, because there is no filter in the ancient time, so when the wine is fermented, the upper part is a clear liquid, but the bottom part is a lees. So whenever you pour out the wine, the lees and the liquid always mix together. So what will you do? You will put this liquid, this mixture, from vessel to vessel. You put the upper part of the clear liquid to another vessel, then the second time, you put it again, and eventually, you got the clear liquid. But if you do not put from vessel to vessels, you always live a kind of easy life, then what will happen? He said, your taste will remain, and your scent will be unchanged. Brother Nee said that several Christians, they got 10 years ago, they are sloppy. But after 10 years, they're still sloppy. They don't have the wisdom to understand the Bible. After 20 years, they are still the same. They still remain in their foolishness. They still remain in their ignorance. This is why the Bible says, their taste remains in him, and their sin is not changed. How could we change our taste? How could we not remain in our sin? The only way is by transformation. From vessel to vessel. That means you from this kind of environment to that kind of environment. Sometimes you encounter the experience some kind of the good environment, but sometimes you can encounter some kind of obstacles or kind of difficulties. That is from vessel to vessel. And the reason that God always put us from vessel to vessel is that He wants to transform us. So our scent will be changed. Our taste will be changed. We will become a different person. Watchman say, God had us to remain in our original scent. God wants to transform us so that we can become the pure liquid before Him to satisfy Him. Amen. And we read the last point together. Amen. Through the process of transformation, Jacob became mature in the divine life to reign in time. His supplanting hand became the breathing hand, and his speaking became God speaking. Praise the Lord. You know, at the end of the book of Genesis, Jacob has many prophecies concerning his son, and most of these prophecies has been fulfilled. It's very strange. Originally, it is Jacob speaking, but his speaking becomes God speaking. When a person is mature in life, he is incorporated with the triune God. Whatever he do, whatever he speak, whatever he have done, become God speaking and God's doing. May the Lord bless us. Transform us day by day, so that we can be mature in life and to reign in life. Amen. Okay, our brothers continue to speak.
The Lord's recovery is a recovery of life. And the testimony that we are bearing is a testimony of life. And I really hope that as we are going through these messages, the Lord would inspire us and motivate us to pursue life, to know life, to pursue life, that we may grow in life, and particularly experiencing these two aspects of life as we fellowship this weekend, the matter of being saved in his life and also the matter of reigning in life. I mean, this is, although I think if you have been in the recovery for a short time, you realize how much we stress life we emphasize the matter of life. But still, brothers and sisters, we can never graduate from this matter. You may have the knowledge about this, you may be familiar with some of the terms, but it still remains, like our brother just mentioned earlier, 20 years after we got saved, what is our scent? What is our flavor? We may still very much smells like Chinese, smells like Korean, smells like American, whatever you are, your background, that even though we know the terminology, we know the some of the messages, but still the fact is, how much are we growing in life by being saved in life, right? Being delivered from so many negative things in our lives, and also learning what it means to reign in life. So without this, brothers and sisters, without this matter of life, the whole recovery becomes just an empty shell, becomes just a kind of a movement, becomes just a kind of an empty structure. The Lord's recovery is where it is because of basically truth and life. All these years ministered to us by our brothers, by Brother Nee, Brother Lee, we are still standing upon their shoulders, and we are burdened that all the saints in the recovery will continue on this line to pursue life, not to be content with merely the terminology, just to familiarity of some expressions, that we indeed would enter into the experience of what it is to be saved in life and to grow and to reign in life. And this morning we saw the matter of Jacob, that we see the experience of transformation in life resulting in maturity of life. There is such a thing called transformation. You know, even though we may not be very happy, satisfied with some of our own condition or with others' condition, you know, after being saved for a number of years, it seems that we are more or less the same. But I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, there is such a thing called transformation in life. Although it may not take place, 1 month or 1 year, or even a couple of years. With Jacob, it takes how many years? At least 20 years, right? For him to pass through all the circumstances, all the environment, a lot of dealing, a lot of struggling. This morning, I think this word, struggling, you have to take it in a very positive sense. If you have never struggled with God, you can never grow in life. It's normal to struggle with God. You try to resist. God comes to you. God appears to you. God makes demand on you, and yet you resist. You don't want to. You don't. You are ready to give up. Well, and in the process of the struggling with God, God is. You need to be assured of that you can never defeat God, right? This is one thing for sure. No matter how hard you try, eventually we know who the winner will be. God is the winner. But in the meantime, as you are struggling with God, you are, you know, opening your being to Him, allowing Him to be able to touch you in some of the areas that has never been touched before. So don't be a kind of nonchalant. You just couldn't care less. Well, I don't. You just you are very faithful, you are very regular and everything, but yet you never struggle with God. That means I can tell you, you will never grow in life. You have to struggle. So sometimes you may have difficulty, I don't want to come to the meeting, I don't want to serve and this and that, but in the meantime you have a lot of struggling with God. And God is able to touch you and to shine on you in some of the areas. So this matter of the struggling, by through our struggling with God, we experience the transformation in life, resulting in the maturity in life. This is something that we should have laid before us as a goal. We don't want to remain the same year after year. Lord, grant me the mercy in this new year, 2010. I want to grow in life a little bit more. Right? Day by day, more and more, little by little, that we want to grow unto the maturity of life. And we saw from this example, this is a good pattern from Jacob's life. Then we come to, in this session, the second person, which is the other half of Jacob. God uses these three principal persons, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to denote a complete person in the experience of the triune God. They are, apparently, these are three persons, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but together they actually are used to signify a seeker's, a believer's experience of the triune God. And experientially, the same way that Jacob and Joseph are not two separate persons. Brother Livingstone already mentioned that if you read those chapters, the record concerning concerning Jacob, Jacob's history is very much meshed in with that of Joseph. You cannot quite separate the two persons like you can with Abraham and with Isaac. Because Jacob and Joseph, these two persons are meant to be looked at as the experience of a complete person. But in two aspects. In the aspect of the maturity of life that is seen in Jacob. And then with Joseph, we see the reigning in life, the reigning aspect of this matured life. You cannot separate these two. As one as one enters into the maturity of life, there will be the other aspect, that is the reigning in life. You cannot reign in life without the maturity in life. You have to go through the growing process until you reach maturity, then you reign. So I love the story of Joseph. This is one of the very interesting story, one of the very pleasant story in the Bible. I love to read the record of Joseph. And it's, you may say this is one of the more perfect story in the Bible. You know, with a lot of stories, even story of David, it's also very interesting. I love that story very, very much. But David also had some failures, had some imperfection. But with Joseph, there's no problem, no error, no mistakes. It's just a life of perfection. It's a life that is a type of Jesus Christ as the perfect one. And he is that perfect one. He reigns in life by the maturity of life. A picture, of course, yesterday we shared here concerning the matter of the reigning in life or the body life in terms of from the scriptures, in terms of the principle, in terms of the revelation. But here this morning we come to the person, the life of a person, from his history, from his life story, we can actually see how this person reigns in life. A picture is better than 1,000 words. You can, from his life, I believe you will see more. You'll be impressed more with what it means to reign in life. Well, let me just maybe go into the outline. I'm aiming at, to think we can finish by 12:20, and maybe leave 10 minutes for some of you to overflow. Now, the first point is, according to spiritual experience, Jacob and Joseph are one person. Joseph represents the reigning aspect of the mature Israel. The constitution of Christ in Jacob's mature nature. So Joseph represents the reigning aspect of the mature Israel. Israel, who was formerly Jacob, he went through all the dealings with God and he became mature. And with this mature Israel, there is an aspect that is called the reigning aspect that is described, presented by Joseph's life. And this, the maturity of Israel refers to the part of Israel, of Jacob, that has been constituted by Christ. What causes a Christian to mature? It is by year after year the deposit of Christ's element into our being. It is through the constitution of Christ in Jacob's mature nature. With each one of us as a believer, we all have received a certain deposit of Christ. And with that deposit of Christ, daily as we come to enjoy the Lord, experience Him, we are being constituted with Christ. So we have to believe this. Within us, there is a certain amount of constitution. Beginning from our spirit, the day of our regeneration, we have been constituted with an element of Christ. But that element needs to increase, needs to spread, needs to multiply in our being, from our spirit to spread into the parts of our soul, into our mind, into our will, into our emotion, so that all these inward parts of our being can be constituted with Christ. So the maturity of a person is dependent on the constitution of Christ in that person. So we all have, and we all have begun from the day that we believe, a certain amount of constitution of Christ. But that constitution needs to increase, needs to multiply, right? Even through our coming together this weekend, I believe the Lord, through His speaking, He is depositing a little bit more of Himself into us to constitute you a little bit more with His element so that you can be on the path of maturity. As a mature saint constituted of Christ, the perfect one, Christ is the perfect one. Jacob reigned through Joseph. Jacob's life, you don't see the reigning part so much. You see the transformation. But putting Jacob and Joseph together, you see that through the transformation, leading to maturity, resulting in reigning. So these are the steps. By us being constituted with Christ, then we can grow to maturity of life, and by the maturity of life, you reign in life. Now, the following points, you can see some of the characteristics of such a one, Joseph, as a type of Christ, the perfect one, who is the reigning aspect of Jacob. Now, A says, Joseph, a master of dreams. His brothers call him, when Joseph was coming toward them in the field, and that his brothers said, here comes the master of dreams. He is the dreamer. Everyone who reigns in life must be a dreamer. If you have never dreamed, you will never reign in life. If you're going to reign in life, you must first begin with a dream, amen, with even many dreams. Joseph was a dreamer, a master of dreams, not dreaming nonsense, but dreaming something very wonderful. What did he dream? He dreamed that, according to God's view, his people are sheaves of wheat, full of life, and the heavenly bodies full of light. Amen. I don't know what kind of dreams you had. Maybe you dreamed some turtles. Dreamed of some snakes. You know, you had some conflict with some brothers or sisters, and then you just can't get along. You're just, in your dream, he is not an angel. He is not a hero. He is a turtle. You know, but in Joseph's dream, he dreamed that God's people are sheaves of wheat. Amen. full of life. You know, some people, they're dreaming about themselves, you know, how good they are and so forth. In that dream that Joseph had, he dreamed about God's people the same as he is. He is one of them. We are all sheaves of wheat. Of course, God measured something special for him, that he was a sheaf that rises up while the others bow to him. But he saw that all of God's people, including himself, are the same. We are sheaves of wheat, full of life. We have to believe, brothers and sisters, every brother and sister in the church is a sheaf of wheat. Amen. Is a plant full of life. Some of the ones may not be that likable by you, may not be that pleasant according to your preference, but you have to look at the saints from God's viewpoint. Don't look at the saints from your viewpoint. You have to look at the saints from God's viewpoint. This is our dream, what our dream is about. We have to dream what God dreams. You dream of all the saints are sheaves of wheat, and also they are heavenly bodies full of light. He saw the sun, the moon, and the stars, representing of God's collective people. We are all shining bodies. Isn't this wonderful? If you are going to reign in life, you must have this kind of a dream, dreaming God's dream, seeing all of God's people are so wonderful, are full of life, are all shining bodies. If you're always just caught up in your thinking, or how bad this one is, and then how terrible that one was, you know, all you are just all caught up with all the shortages of one another. And be reminded, like in the Old Testament, you have the story of Balaam. He was asked to curse the children of Israel, right? Hired by Balak. And when he was ready to curse them, and God came, God's spirit came upon him and spoke up, and the words of blessing came out of his mouth. And instead of cursing the children of Israel, Balaam said, I could not find iniquity in them. In my people Israel. Can you believe that? Among the children of Israel, there's no iniquity. You can make a whole long list of problems they had, right? All the things they had transgressed against God in the wilderness, that's from your viewpoint. But then with God's viewpoint, when it comes to the matter of the enemy tries to curse God's people, God says, I found no iniquity in Jacob. God loves his people. So among us, brothers and sisters, when we live in the church life, in the body life, don't be so quick to pass on your judgment. Oh, this one is not good for the church. He's not going to make it. You know, that one, oh, he is, how long I'm going to bear with him. Saints, we are all sheaves of life, sheaves of wheat, shining bodies. This is the first characteristic of a reigning one. Reigning in life. He's a dreamer, dreaming God's dream. The reigning aspect of the mature life never condemns God's people, but shepherds and appreciates them. A reigning one always shepherds, always appreciates. In Romans 12, which is the book we are on, that Paul says that we should not be conquered by evil, right? Rather, we should conquer evil with good. In chapter 12, in verse 19, do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Well, Joseph encountered a lot of evil done to him by his brothers. But he did not conquer evil. He was not conquered by evil. In other words, when someone did something bad to you, so you are unhappy, you want to revenge. And in your feeling unhappy, in your feeling the wanting to revenge, you have been conquered already. You are defeated by others doing evil to you. This is what it means here. Don't be conquered by evil, but rather you conquer evil with good. Instead of recompensing them to return their evil with evil, if you do that, you have been defeated already. You are conquered already. As one who reigns in life, you see all of God's people are sheaves of wheat, shining bodies. So even though apparently there are these conflicts, there are these shortcomings, there are these offenses, we exercise the reigning in life not to be overcome by evil, not to be conquered by evil, rather we conquer evil with good. You know the story of Brother Hank Hanegraaff. One of the major turning points was his visit to China. That's where he met this Brother Li Hong, who was in prison for these many years. And when he met him, and so is Sister Gretchen Pasentino, who wrote one of the early articles against the church, against the local churches. And she was so regretful of what she did, so she was apologetic, and then she felt very, very sorry when she shook his hand. She said, "I'm very sorry for what I did, causing you to be severed from your family for so many years, from your freedom." And the brother just shook her hand and said, "This is of God." There was no sense of murmuring, of complaint. The brother just told him, "This is of God." And that little word just vibrates, shook up Gretchen and Hank. How can there be people like this? Being cut off from the family for 17 years? And yet, now, not one word of complaint. He didn't slap me on my face. What did you do? Put us in this kind of trouble. But he said, instead, he just said, "This is altogether of God." Praise the Lord. There are saints who are really reigning in life. They were not conquered by evil. Rather, they conquered evil with good. And that is a real testimony, an expression of a reigning life. Now, B says, the reigning aspect of the mature life is a life that always enjoys the presence of the Lord. Wherever his presence is, there is authority, the ruling power. Another characteristic of the reigning life is that the one who reigns in life always treasures, always possesses God's presence. You have to realize Joseph began his reigning in life not in Pharaoh's palace. He began reigning in life even when he was there in the wilderness, shepherding the sheep. When he was being betrayed by the brothers, he was reigning in life, and especially when he was in Potiphar's house. You know, when he was being sold, right, betrayed by the brothers, and sold to Egypt, and he was as a slave in Potiphar's house. And because he exhibited such an excellence in his behavior, Potiphar just handed over all the responsibility of his house to Joseph. The Bible says, except the matter of eating, Potiphar does not care for anything else except for his food. He turned over everything of his house to Joseph. Joseph was the ruler of his house. He began ruling as a slave, supposedly, in the house of Potiphar in Egypt. And then, you know, something happened, Potiphar's wife trying to seduce him, and then this episode, and then sent him to the prison, right? He got into prison. And again, the Bible says, actually the word says, Jehovah was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house, it says Jehovah was with him. When he went into prison, it says Jehovah was with him. And the chief jailer, when he saw his excellence, he just turned over all the responsibility to Joseph. He didn't care, he didn't have to do anything. He just knew Joseph will take care of everything. Joseph was reigning in Potiphar's house. He was reigning in the prison because he had God's presence. Jehovah was with him. If you're going to reign in life, you must have God's presence. It is not how strong you are, how capable you are. I'm going to reign in life. I'm going to show you how powerful I am. It's not your power, it's not your capability that enables you to reign in life. It is God's presence. God's presence causes him to exhibit the excellence of the human virtues, causes Joseph to rise above all the other, common situation, causing him to reign even in all those little environments, eventually leading him to reign over the entire country of Egypt. This presence of the Lord becomes our authority. It becomes our ruling power. Then C says, although his own dreams were not yet fulfilled, Joseph had the faith and the boldness to interpret the dreams of his two companions in prison. This is another characteristic of one who reigns in life, that he was bold, he had faith to interpret others' dream while his own dream had not yet been fulfilled. I think this is one of the most difficult. He had that dream of the sheaves bowing to him, of the heavenly bodies also bowing to him, the parents. He saw that dream, and he believed in that dream. He had the interpretation of that dream. And now, because he saw that dream, because he told others of that dream, he got himself into trouble, right? Because all his brothers think, who do you think you are? You think we are going to bow to you? You think your parents are going to bow to you? You are so proud? Okay, we're going to make sure this is not going to happen to you. We're going to get rid of you and see how your dream will come true. Actually, whatever they did was helping. Eventually, it was helping that dream to come true. They thought was that they're going to... In the meantime, they betrayed him, sold him to Egypt and so forth for a period of 10 years. 10 years. Joseph did not see his dream fulfilled. Where am I? I'm not that sheep rising up. I'm in the prison. I'm not that sheep that my parents bowing to me. I'm a slave here in Egypt. What is this? You know, but in the wilderness, suddenly he encountered these two cellmates. You know, who one is the baker, one is the cupbearer, and they both saw a dream. And here Joseph was. Now, there are two persons who needed their dreams to be interpreted. If you were Joseph, what would you think, brother? Your dream did not get. Maybe if I'm the cupbearer, hey, you want to interpret my dream? Did you get, how about your dream? How's it going? How's it coming along, your dream? You know, if Joseph was a little bit self-conscious and you, well, I'm sorry, I think my dream is still pending right now. Maybe I better humble myself. I don't dare to help you too much. I can't even help myself. But instead, this person, Joseph, as one who reigns in life, he knows, he interprets that dream, he believed in that dream that he had. He, even though he did not see the fulfillment of the dream for the time being, he had faith and he had the boldness to interpret the dream for these two persons. Brothers and sisters, many times You know, this is not only seen here. They have other instances in the Word, in the Old Testament. God requires you, you bless. Even in spite of yourself, don't seem to be having that much of a blessing. You bless. First, you bless others. Even your condition may not seem so qualified, so up to it. But by faith, with boldness, you bless. You speak on God's behalf, not for yourself. As one who reigns in life, you must not look at your own condition. You are speaking for the Lord. You are there ministering to God's people, not because of your condition, but because of God's speaking, because of God's vision. So in the wilderness, or in the prison, Joseph interpreted the dreams for these two. And he was really hoping, and he reminded them, if this dream comes through, you're going to get out of the prison soon, and please remember me. Poor thing, after they got released from the prison, they got released very quickly. Just in a few days, their dreams got fulfilled. I mean, he is the master of dreams. His dream did not get fulfilled for years, decades. And the other's dream got fulfilled in a few days. You know, haven't you heard people telling you, well, you love the Lord so much, you know, what kind of benefits, how come we prosper so quickly, how about you? So this master of dream, his dream was still pending. And then the other two, they got released. And then, unfortunately, this one, the cupbearer, his dream got fulfilled, he got restored to his old job. But he forgot. He forgot about what Joseph did to him. And he forgot it for 2 years. Another 2 years. Not two more days. Another 2 years forgotten. And there Joseph was in the prison another two more years. In human eyes, it's totally unreasonable. He was about 13 years in this pending dream. Without fulfillment. But yet, by faith, with boldness, he prophesied, he interpreted the dream for others. Others got the fulfillment. Praise the Lord, he was there just waiting. And then eventually, Joseph was released from prison indirectly through his speaking by faith in interpreting the cupbearer's dream. And he was ushered to the throne directly through his speaking boldly in interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. Both release and authority came to him through his speaking. Good thing Pharaoh did not ask Joseph, well, you're going to interpret my dream. Okay, have you had much experience? And how good is your record of your dream, right? Even up to that point, when he was interpreting for Pharaoh's dream, I mean, he did not get his own dream fulfilled. He was being tried. You know, in Psalm 109, I believe, the word of Jehovah tries us. Tries us. It tries you through time. Not through a few days, few weeks, even decades. His word is firm, his word is true, but the fulfillment doesn't come right away. And his word tries us, right? And in the process, to prepare us for our kingship, for us to learn how to reign with him, not because of our feeling, not because of our condition, but because of his word. So Joseph continued to speak regardless of his own condition. It's just like, I think it's Andrew Murray who said once, any minister of God, he has to be able to speak beyond his experience. If you're going to speak for God, you are not speaking because your experience has matched up to it. You have to speak God's word because this is God's word. Regardless of whether my condition has come up to it or not. God's truth is absolute. So the next point says, we should not speak according to our feelings, but according to the heavenly vision. We are visionaries, seers of God's eternal economy, so we should speak according to the absoluteness of the truth of his economy. Every seer, every visionary, every one who reigns in life must be bold to speak forth God's word. By faith, regardless of our own condition, of our own feeling, we learn to speak forth God's truth, which is absolute, regardless of our condition. So we need to, Joseph spoke himself into trouble, right? Because he spoke so much, he got himself into trouble because people thought they were so proud. And yet also he continued to speak. He spoke himself to the throne. It is by his speaking. My, he got the release. He spoke himself into the fulfillment of the dream, into the enthronement of to be the king, to be into the enthronement. So don't stop speaking. If you want to be a one who reigns in life, you have to speak, 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 speak. Amen. Amen. Lots of speaking in the churches. Amen. In small ways, in big ways, whatever gathering, always speaking. Don't look at your condition. Speak because it is God's word. Now, the second point, the record of Joseph's life is a revelation of the rulership of the Spirit, for the rulership of the Spirit is the reigning aspect of a mature saint. The rulership of the Spirit here is not referring to how the Spirit exercises ruling, reigning over others. The rulership of the Spirit refers to the how we are under the Spirit's rule. In Chinese, is 圣灵的管制. The 管制 is the Spirit exercising a ruling over us. Not for us to say that now I have the rulership of the Spirit, that means with the Spirit I'm going to rule over you. But rather, it refers to the Spirit within us exercising a kind of control, a kind of ruling over our whole being. This is called the rulership of the Spirit. This is the reigning aspect of a mature saint. The rulership of the Spirit, a life of reigning in life, being under the restriction, limitation, and ruling of the divine life in the reality of God's kingdom, is higher than any other aspect of the Spirit. We know there are, in the New Testament especially, there are many aspects of the Spirit revealed, the Spirit's love, the Spirit's joy, the Spirit's kindness, endurance, and so forth, all many aspects is life-giving, but the highest aspect of the Spirit is in the rulership of the Spirit. And this is related to the experience of the reigning life. Asas, although he was full of human feelings and sentiments toward his brothers, Joseph kept himself with all his feelings under the rulership of the Spirit. I mean, it's very interested in reading the record of Joseph and the whole story about then, eventually the brothers came back, and Joseph recognized them, but they could not recognize him. And then, Joseph had to conduct himself in a way full of wisdom. And yet, humanly speaking, he has been away, separated from his family for 13 years. And now suddenly he saw his brother. If I were Joseph, wow, you see your brother separated from 13 years, you go up and hug them. Wow, brother, so good to see you. You would exercise a kind of, actually Joseph was a very emotional person. He was full of feelings. But it's really wonderful in reading the record how he controlled himself. His feelings, his sentiment, not allowing his feeling to go uncontrolled. It mentions in the record in Genesis that he wept a number of times, in this encounter with his brothers. But he wept private, secretly. But during his life of suffering, when he was in being betrayed, sold to Egypt, in Potiphar's house, and then in the prison, it never mentioned anything about his weeping. His feeling, as he was undergoing all these persecution and suffering, he never expressed any kind of pity for himself. But now, in this matter of coming, restoring back to with his brothers, his emotion was very much stirred up. But he controlled it in a very, very good way. In this matter of reigning in life, one of the first things we have to reign over is our emotion. It's our emotion. You know, we are persons of feelings. We're persons of emotion. And how we deal with the matter of emotion is critical in the matter of reigning in life. You can see this also in Brother Nee and Brother Lee's life. You know, we all, in the human realm, you know, we love one another, we care for one another. But as we exercise our human love, our human virtues, kindness, care for one another, we should not forget that we are God-men, that we want to express divinity in our humanity. We don't want to behave just as common, ordinary humans. Oh, just, you know, expressing emotions and feelings in an unrestrained way. I described a little bit last night. I mean, some just when they're happy, they're just so happy, they cannot control. They just kept going and going and going. And some got so sad, and they just get out. They cannot control. The tears just keep coming, keep crying and crying. As one who reigns in life, yes, there is the expression of the emotion, the feelings, but is under the proper control. You know, Brother Nee, the last time when Brother Nee and Brother Lee were together, it was in 1950 when they were in Hong Kong. Brother Nee, there was still the freedom for Brother Nee to go out of China. They were there for 3 months together and brought a revival there in the church there. But, you know, when Brother Lee was not happy that to hear that Brother Nee was going to go back to China, knowing that once he went back, he could never come out again. But Brother Nee expressed to Brother Lee, well, I had to go back. So many saints, so many churches in China. How can I not go back? Well, anyway, one morning when Brother Lee went to the meeting, Brother Nee was not there. And he found out later on, Brother Nee just left without even saying goodbye to Brother Lee. Although he was such a close worker, closely working together, but Brother Nee just went, left. Even in these matters, aren't we friends? We should have a little, let's hug, have a last hug, you know, before we depart. But that's not how Brother Nee looked at this. Even in some matters, he was exercising. Even in how to, the human feeling, the emotions, need to be under the proper control. Well, let me move on. That he dealt with his brothers soberly, wisely, and with discernment, disciplining them according to their need in order to perfect them and build them up that they might be a collective people living together as God's testimony on earth. Joseph was very wise in exercising his reigning in life, even how he dealt with those brothers. On the one hand, emotionally, he really wanted to just hug them, especially seeing Benjamin, the little brother. But he controlled himself, and at the same time, he exercised wisdom in his dealing with them. First, you know, make the long story short, he asked Simeon to stay behind, right? Let the other brothers go back, bring the food back. That was a dealing. Well, actually, first, before that, he kept the brothers there for 3 days in custody, right? He accused them as spies. So during that 3 days, they were talking among themselves, well, why we shouldn't have done what we did to Joseph. Look at it, you know, we ended up being accused of as spies, you know, we are this and that. You know, even Joseph using 3 days custody to perfect his brothers. Let them think about what they did. Not too long, not too short, but 3 days. Let them talk about among themselves what they did, the errors they made. Then again, also, the second time, Joseph kept Simeon, right? Held him back and sent the rest back with the food. Simeon was the one who dropped him into the pit in the wilderness there. So Simeon was a tempestuous person. He was very with a hot temper. Well, he was the one who kind of took the lead in this betrayal of Joseph. Well, Joseph selected among all his brothers, he selected Simeon and kept him in custody, in prison, and then sent the rest back for probably a 6 months period after they went back. There was another dealing to Simeon. It's a perfecting to Simeon. And then a third time, how Joseph exercised his wisdom when they all came back with Benjamin, you know, and then he said to have dinner with him, and he spread the table, you know. He apportioned everyone where they should sit from the first one to the last one. And especially come to Benjamin, he set a fivefold portion for Benjamin. You know, according to Brother Lee, he said even that was an exercise of his wisdom, of his care for these brothers. Those brothers were jealous when Joseph was loved by Jacob, right? And given him this color garment and this and that. So the brothers were jealous, and eventually leading to that betrayal. And now here at this table, this younger brother, Benjamin, is with five portions more than the rest. I think Joseph was very wise, even through this, to test all the brothers. How do you feel? Do you still feel jealous? Like you felt jealous about me years ago? In all these, here Joseph exercised soberness, wisdom, discernment, disciplining them according to their need in order to perfect them and build them up, that they might be a collective people living together as God's testimony. Then B says, Joseph denied himself and placed himself absolutely under God's sovereign leading, conducting himself wholly for the interests of God and his people. So when eventually, you know, the situation got opened up, and then, you know, his brothers were very much afraid. Now, he's going to get back to us what we did to him. And then Joseph said, no, God has sent me here first to preserve life. He was not speaking on his own behalf. He just encouraged the brothers, comforted his brothers. No, it was not you. It was God who has sent me here. Just like what that brother Lee answered to Brother Hank. It was not the doings by humans. It is God's hand in all this. He denied himself. So Joseph, living under God's restriction, a portrait of the human living of Christ, manifested the maturity and perfection of the divine life and brought in God's kingdom. Well, I don't have the time. You have these verses. When Jesus was on the earth, he lived a life fully under the restriction, the limitation. He spoke the Father's word. He sought the Father's glory. He did the Father's work. He was not at all free to do what he wanted to do, even though he was God himself. He subjected and be limited with all that the Father was doing, was speaking. He was seeking only the Father's glory. And here, Joseph, he was living under God's restriction. just like the Lord Jesus. Indeed, in Joseph dealing with his brothers, we see that he lived a calm life, a sober life, and a discerning life, a self-denying life as the practice of the kingdom life. And Joseph's sentiments, feelings, considerations, and preferences were absolutely under the rulership and the control of the Spirit. Proverbs 16 is a very good verse where it says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules the spirit is better than he who captures a city." We need to be those who rule over our spirit. Anger, our temper, is one of the big tests to our reigning in life. Can you reign in life? In the matter of your temper. He who rules over his anger is better than the mighty. Now, F says, the golden chain around Joseph's neck signifies the beauty of the Holy Spirit given for obedience expressed in submission. Joseph's reigning life shows that in order for us to live Christ, our neck must be chained. Our will must be conquered and subdued by the Holy Spirit. We all need to have a chain, a golden chain on our neck. Not a physical chain so much, but a chain signifying our submission to the Lord. I was very impressed when Brother Lee was with his terminal illness, the last days of his life, how much he lived this life of submission. If this is what God measured to me, as he said, I just accept from the Lord. And even in how he wrote the letter, making known this matter and then he expressed in this way, if you are so led of the Lord to pray for me, that's, I appreciate. But he was not demanding, he was not a kind of expecting, he just opened up and just allowed the saints, if you are led by the Lord to pray, I appreciate. Here's one who absolutely submitted himself under God's measurement, God's restriction, God's limitation. Joseph's realization that it was God who sent him to Egypt, even though his brothers intended evil against him, is the reality of Paul's word in Romans 8:28-29, which is that all things work together for good, including all these sufferings, all the bad things that his brothers did to him, they turn out to be for the good. The good here is God's will. Now, number three, because Joseph suffered and denied himself, he gained the riches of the life supply. In order to receive food from him, the people had to pay four kinds of prices: their money, that is their convenience, their livestock, means of living, their land, that is their resources, and themselves. This point shows us, as one who reigns in life, now he is in control, he is the source of food. He has a rich supply of food. And the rich supply of food here signifies the riches of God's truth, the riches of God's word. Today, in the Lord's recovery, under this ministry of the age, we are in a storehouse of riches. We are in the storehouse of the Joseph storehouse of riches. But in order to get the riches, we have to pay a price. We have to pay the price of our money, that is our convenience. We have to, even our means of living, the resources, and including ourselves. If you want to gain the truth so that you can become a rich supply to others, you need to pay the price. Truth does not come to you cheaply. We have to pay the price to buy truth. If you're going to reign in life, you need to have a rich storehouse of truth. And to get the truth, you need to pay price. Let me go on to point number four. Joseph as a fruitful bough typifies Christ as the branch for the branching out of God through his believers as his branches. The fountain signifies God, the source of fruitfulness, and the branches running over the wall signifies that Christ's believers as his branches spread Christ over every restriction, magnifying him in all circumstances. With the reigning life, there's nothing that can stop, that can frustrate the spreading, the multiplying of this overflowing life. In Genesis chapter 49, we have the blessing of Jacob to his sons, and the top blessing was with Joseph. I'd like to read this to you because this is too wonderful. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a fountain. His branches run over the wall. The archers bitterly attacked him and shot at him and harassed him, but his bow remained firm, and the arms of his hands were agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. From the God of your father, who will help you, and from the all-sufficient one, who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father surpass the blessings of my ancestors to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. And also in Deuteronomy 33, the blessing by Moses to other 12 tribes, also the best was related to Joseph. It is a blessing of blessings. The blessings of heaven, the blessings of the earth, the blessings of space and time belong to this reigning one, to this Joseph. Now the last point, the universal blessing on Joseph consummates in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven and new earth, in which everything will be new as a blessing to Christ and his believers. Saints, as we grow in life, to the maturity in life, we reign in life, the ultimate issue of this reigning in life is that we become blessings to all men. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. My, I tell you, what a place to be. Today, the Lord's recovery is in the position of rendering blessings. All the recovery versions we give out, worldwide, oh, it's a blessing. Brothers and sisters, I just read a report, a letter to brothers in South America from Pretoria. Some of these seeking ones, just from nowhere, because they heard someone from Israel says that you have to read the recovery version from Israel. They came back to South Africa, and they were looking for, where can we get a hold of this recovery version? They found out from a sister who was meeting with a church there, and he introduced them, you go to the book room of the church in Pretoria. And these were coming to the knocking on the door of the church. We want to get a copy of the recovery version. Not just the New Testament, but the entire Bible. In 2 weeks, they sold 80 copies. And they would just keep running out of the recovery version in the book room. They're just waiting for orders to come in. But there was just a hunger. The brother opened the Bible and read a footnote to one of the ones who visited them. Tears came out of their eyes. They said, we have never heard or read anything like this. They were so grateful that now they can come into contact with the ministry of the age and to be supplied, to be fed. So today, brothers and sisters, through the ministry of the age, the Lord's recovery is a blessing to the whole earth. Not just a blessing to ourselves in the churches, but the blessing to the whole earth. The whole world is open, is hungry for this ministry. Transformation is to be metabolically changed with the newness of the divine life. We see that in the life of Jacob. Maturity is to be filled with the newness of the divine life that changes us. So when you are filled with this divine life, with the newness of the divine life, to the point filling you, that is your maturity. And then blessing is the overflow of this life. Transformation is a change. Maturity is the filling. And the blessing is the overflow. The ending of Jacob's life with Joseph was a life of blessing as the zenith of his shining. How wonderful it is today that we can be in this, in the midday, where the sun is shining in its strength. We are here blessing the people. Oh, when Jacob came to Egypt, brought before Pharaoh, he just laid his hands on Pharaoh, he blessed Pharaoh. He was higher than Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the top person on the earth at that time, but Jacob, as a king, as a prince, he was higher than Pharaoh. And Joseph, as the reigning part of Jacob, my, he was just overflowing of this maturing life to become a blessing to all of God's people on the earth. Only God is new. Anything that is kept away from God is old, but anything that comes back to God is new. To be renewed means to come back to God and have everything of God put into us so that we are mingled with God and one with God for the body life. The secret of receiving God as our blessing of newness is to bring everything to God and let Him get into everything. Let's all read the last point together. The universal means that Joseph, everything. Hallelujah! This is the age of the blessing. We are no longer in the curse. That was something of the fall. But to get today, by His recovery, through the recovery of life, being saved in life, reigning life, we are brought into a condition of blessing. God bless you. God bless America. God bless Europe. God bless Africa. God bless the whole earth. Saying God bless Chicago. All the churches here. And all the residents here. Saints, we are just a people of blessing. Amen. Don't be overcome by evil. Conquer evil with good. Amen. People may curse us. Years ago, people condemn us, criticize us, put us on the ground, on the floor. Now we just bless them. Amen. Oh, I tell you, the Lord today has paved before us an open highway. We are here just opening our hands. Welcome all the believers. All the people, come enjoy Joseph's storehouse. The riches are here. We're going to feed the whole world. Hallelujah. May the Lord have mercy on us, that we will see this and to be even motivated to grow in life, be saved in life, to reign in life. Sorry, I missed the time, but amen.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Amen.